Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. We are almost to the weekend. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. The Green Bay Packers, not a ton of headlines, not a ton of news outside of the NFL sharing initial looks at what the draft day imprint setup will look like there in Green Bay. For those of you planning on attending the draft, I know you're probably chomping at the bit to get some kind of idea what things are going to look like. Still no official word as to how it will operate as far as where you can enter. There will certainly be a bunch of street closures and things of that nature. But it is fun to see right away how much kind of space they're taking up and where everything will be situated. First of all, the stage itself, if you take a look here, and this is compelling content for those of you listening later on the podcast, but for those of you here on the YouTube channel, you can see that is the stage, what it will look like, the area the stage will occupy. Pretty amazing, pretty expansive. I'm excited. And then I can hear you out there going, well, that's a great looking stage, Aaron, but where is it in relation to the stadium? Well, there you go. There's a look at that stadium behind, or essentially the stage facing the stadium, the stage essentially set up on Oneida Street facing into the parking lot and Lambeau. And we spoke to the head of events for the NFL about this down at Radio Row during the Super Bowl. The idea being, when the young man gets drafted and is up on stage, you'll have the hero shot from behind him looking at Lambeau Field. That is going to be amazing. And then you see in this rendering how far this thing will stretch, all the way past Lambeau, down Lombardi, all the way through Titletown. That is going to be where most of the NFL experience stuff happens, the 40-yard dash. They'll probably set up a Lambeau leap of some kind. That is going to be the draft footprint, so to speak, for the 3 days of the event, from Thursday through Saturday. Going to be a ton of fun. And I did find this kind of funny, this view that they made. Oh, look at this. This is the stage. So you're looking essentially, you know, from Lambeau at the stage, and kind of pointed this out on Twitter. I love that they've made this out to be like it's going to be some idyllic, beautiful spring evening, when you know, we all know, it's going to be like cold and rainy probably. Who knows? Maybe they get a perfect night, but I'm praying for snow. I know it hasn't really snowed at that point of the year in recent years in Green Bay, but I'm hoping for snow. The other funny part about this drawing is you see the sunset in the background there. The sunset actually sets in the exact opposite direction, but don't tell the NFL that. It's a beautiful painting. So there you go. That's how the draft is going to set up the event itself. It's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait to be in Green Bay for it. We're going to be streaming here on Cheesehead TV for Thursday and Friday night. We will not have a live stream on Saturday, on day three. We've done that in years past, but obviously this year, the draft being in Green Bay, I'm going to be doing a lot more on the ground, so to speak, probably doing a lot of fan videos and also just doing reaction videos of the picks themselves. So it will be a bit different, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun week. Like I said, I cannot wait. I'm jonesing. I'm excited. And I hear you. There are naysayers out there, because there's always naysayers. Oh, there's going to be so many people. Oh, it's not inside Lambeau, et cetera, et cetera. Complaint, complaint. Y'all have fun complaining. I'm going to be over here having a great time. I can't wait. It's exciting. The NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin, once-in-a-lifetime event. Bring it on. Cannot wait. Hello, everybody in the comments. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. I want to remind everybody, dropping on April 2nd, the Cheesehead TV draft guide. April 2nd. No pre-order. Don't need to worry about it right now. Just putting it on your radar. Do not forget, April 2nd, the Cheesehead TV draft guide will be available for its 15th iteration. Kind of crazy. We've been doing this for 15 years. As I always say, it's one of, if not the best piece of content we create each and every season. And that's mostly due to the fact that I am very much the least involved of anything that we do here at Cheesehead TV. Make sure you check that out on April 2nd. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always great, great work from Al and company. What's going on, everybody? It's good to see everybody in the chat mixing it up. What a beaut. Are there tickets to this thing? Tony, not yet. I believe the NFL will drop all that information on March, I want to say 2nd or 6th, somewhere around there, that first week of March. There's an app, of course, because in 2025, there's always an app. that you're going to have to download, and that will have a ton of information from the NFL. I'll obviously let you guys know what that's all about when it's closer to that time and they get more details. They're going to hopefully have a informational session with kind of local leaders and obviously the team, et cetera, here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll maybe get some news out of that. But the NFL will announce things for the public that first week in March. So be on the lookout for that. JK Nags. What's up, man? What's up, JK? Funko, that's a fun question. Oren Burks back in a Green Bay Packers uniform? I tend to doubt it, but never say never. I could see them being interested if he does hit the market. And certainly he's coming off a year with the Eagles where he looked reborn. And he certainly looked productive, being thrust into a prominent role there in the playoffs in particular. But I suspect they would probably roll it back with guys who are set to become free agents who are already on their roster, whether that's Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson. I would think they'd probably go that route rather than bring in a street free agent. But like I said, never say never. Rob, I can't agree more. Matt Bowen was a stud. Matt Bowen was a stud, man. And let me correct your, you know, just one word there. Matt Bowen is a stud. If for those of you that don't know, I had a great chat with Matt earlier this afternoon. It's up here at the YouTube channel, talking about his perfect fit article, free agency article for ESPN.com. Talked about Matt Khalil Mack being the perfect fit for the Green Bay Packers. And it was just great to catch up with Matt. Haven't talked to him in a while. Very much excited about seeing him in Indianapolis next week during the NFL scouting combine. But we had a great chat about what Khalil Mack would do and mean in the Packers locker room, on the field for the defense. Great conversation. Highly recommend you checking it out because, yes, Matt Bowen is a stud. It is correct. You are 1,000% spot on. Mimsy, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Can you boo Goodell from Corey's deck? I suspect I can, sir. I'll be on private property. And I know there'll be plenty of people booing even at the draft. But I will say, I'm gonna throw this up here one last time. So this is what I'm worried about. See, you see where Lombardi Avenue is, right? That is going to be shut down. All these, like Ridge Road, Lombardi, and Oneida is the first street that's going to get shut down so they can build the stage. But Lombardi is going to be shut down. But what's not depicted here is the perimeter fencing, which is for sure going to be part of the event. My one worry is that they put the fencing up on that opposite side of Lombardi and they make it high enough where we can't see from Corey's deck. Let me tell you, people, this is the A number one concern for Cheesehead TV because, you know, if it's too high, we're going to have to look into some drone technology is all I know. You know, we're going to have to make sure we get shots of this stuff. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Shamar Stewart on Cheesehead TV draft guide cover. Last year it was Cooper DeJean. Can we rule out Stewart? Got a draft crush yet? I tell you what, Stewart's close to being that guy. I haven't really dove deep enough, though, into this class yet. I usually do that post-combine regarding, you know, like some maybe, you know, the big name guys are the ones I'm watching now to get ready for the combine. But certainly as the offseason rolls on, I'll get kind of more guys under my belt, so to speak. And then I'll cobble together my draft crush list. As you guys know, and I will never, ever let anyone forget it, as someone on Spotify pointed out, I'm the world's biggest Ketan Oladapo fan. He was a draft crush, the first draft crush ever to be drafted by the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, I'm just going to say, Shamar Stewart being on the cover of the Cheesehead TV draft guide maybe doesn't disqualify him. This is the first time for everything. There had never been a Nagler draft crush drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Broke that streak last year. Maybe the Packers break the streak of the Cheesehead TV cover with Shamar Stewart, which I would love. I would absolutely love it. I do know that there are plenty of Packers fans who would not like that pick, but you know what? I just ignore them. Jimmy, interesting question. Did LaFleur ever explain why he stopped naming captains for the season? Wondering if we will see captain's patches back next year with the comments made on Love at the end of the season. That is an interesting kind of drawing of a line from one thing to the other that, Jimmy, I think you might be onto something there. He mentioned it, I don't want to say offhandedly. He did kind of respond to a question about it regarding, you know, the idea of wanting guys to have lots of different leaders, right? And especially with a team that is so young and coming up together, that you would be given the opportunity for lots of different guys to be named leaders and put in that position. But yeah, I think there's a possibility as the team matures and grows a little bit, maybe he goes back to season long guys, but we shall see. Joseph, what's going on, man? Will there likely be shuttle buses from Appleton and other cities in a 45-minute radius from Lambeau? Yes, 100%. Actually, Discover Green Bay has already listed a couple of spots that are already committed to running shuttle buses, including Appleton and obviously Milwaukee and Wausau and a couple spots in Door County. And there are a few more that are, I know, are online that haven't been announced yet, but there will be a lot of that going on. And what I'm excited about is there is a special dedicated draft train. That's right, a draft train that is scheduled to run between Green Bay and Milwaukee each and every day, I guess several times. So that could be fun, man. Save me a spot on the bar car. That'd be a good time. That'd be a way to travel. Josh Sims, thanks for the super chat, man. What positions do you think they address / bolster in free agency versus the draft? Excellent question. And it's kind of like the way we just spin our wheels here before free agency opens, right? Because you look at the way Brian's operated over the course of his tenure as general manager, he almost always, I mean, you can go year by year, wants to find guys in free agency to not only bolster the roster, but to make sure that he's not hemmed in the draft for need or by need, you know? So if you're thinking defensive tackle or corner or edge are needs, which I know a lot of people outside the building do, I'm not quite sure where they're at in that kind of evaluation, but you can suspect that they'll probably find at least one guy, if not two, at some of those positions. I suspect we'll see edge rusher and maybe defensive tackle looked at in free agency. I tend to think they'll probably look to the draft for corner, though I wouldn't completely rule out the the possibility of a corner in free agency. But I think, you know, the lines are probably where they'll look the most, and maybe wide receiver, though that wouldn't surprise me either. I really think it's more likely they look at edge rusher and defensive tackle over a lot of the other areas, just to solidify prior to going into the draft. Rai, Packers need to improve their silent count. Was an issue versus the top teams in big games. Yeah, I mean, I think the rhythm of it was fine. I think sometimes teams kind of, you know, felt the rhythm of it at other times and were able to jump it. I do know they, you know, really struggled in Detroit coming out of the gate, and Detroit did an excellent job of being able to get across the line of scrimmage even as the ball was being snapped. Now, they did get them later in that contest a couple of times with, offsides penalties. And I liked their response to that the following week in Seattle. They did a phenomenal job of getting in and out of the huddle up to the line of scrimmage and just getting the snap off. Like, they barely even had a cadence. And that was in response almost directly to the issues they had in Detroit as far as the opponent being able to kind of pin their ears back and get off the ball on the silent count. I have no doubt that is something they're going to be talking about this offseason, though, because to your point, I do think there were plenty of times that you could point to where the opponent was able to kind of discern what the rhythm was and was able to, you know, take advantage of it. So it's certainly something to think about for the offense. Rob, Door County meetup. Doubt I'll get up to Door County, but man, that would be fun. I miss Door County. I used to go up there every summer with my folks. Haven't been in ages, but do love Door County. And I do know there's Carry the G available in Door County now. So there you go. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. This draft looks like it can provide a decent chunk of income for the area. Not my thing, but I hope it goes exceptionally well. Yeah, I always, you know, I'm a bit dubious about the NFL's claims on the face of it as far as their economic impact, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's the draft, what have you. I don't think you can dismiss it. I don't doubt for a moment that it absolutely does inject, dollars into the local revenue streams. Yeah, like, there's zero doubt in my mind about that. But as for like the numbers that they'll tout, and they have, I think there was an article today in the Press Gazette talking about their quote expected economic impact. You know, I take that with a grain of salt. But I do think there's zero question, especially of an event this big with this many people coming in. It's the biggest event Wisconsin's ever held. There's little doubt that it will have an impact locally in a positive way. No, Mick, that's an interesting question. Is this the year they will bring back Yosh Nyman in free agency? Doubt it. If they had wanted to keep Yosh in the door, they probably would have done so. They got their, they're getting their, what do you call it? Compensatory pick for him in this draft. I'd be surprised if he made a return, but never say never. Crazier stuff has happened, no doubt about it. Oh, Grant. Oh, are you kidding me? Lambeau should host a World Cup game. Man, what a missed opportunity. I would absolutely love that. I know the, you know, exhibition match they held a couple years ago with Man City went very well. People loved it. Seemed like a great time. I missed it by one day, which I'll always regret. But I would have loved it. I know there had been like rumblings about the possibility that Lambeau would be part of the World Cup rotation, but maybe someday, maybe if they kill this, the draft is like, not, they knock it out of the park, maybe down the line someday they'll be able to, but I'm with you. That would have been great. That'd have been a lot of fun. James, what's up, man? I think we will draft a right tackle that can play guard. Tom needs to get moved to center. I'd be very surprised if they move Tom. I know that has been a prevailing sentiment, especially after Rob Demoski had that report out there a couple years ago about people inside the building thinking that he would be a, quote, Hall of Fame center. And I know Brian, when Tom got drafted, and also last year kind of reiterated that when they were evaluating Zach Tom and he was coming out in the draft, they thought he'd be a center or that his best position was center. But man, he's played at a really high level at right tackle for the last 2 years. I can't imagine they just rip that up and move him. And I can't imagine that Tom would be amiable to it, knowing that he's a year away. I mean, maybe, and I mean, underline, italicized, maybe they get him signed to an extension here and then approach him about, hey, by the way, now that we've paid you, you mind moving into center? But at that point, now you're paying your center right tackle money. So, yeah, I think it's a good theoretical exercise, but I don't see it happening in reality. I think they've got, you know, obviously Sean Ryan was the nominal backup last year. I know Jacob Monk is a guy that they probably drafted thinking he could be the Josh Myers heir apparent. Didn't have a great start to camp last year, but I thought really came on during training camp and preseason last summer. So we'll see if they think one of those guys can do it, or if maybe they draft yet another guy. And that's entirely possible. Maybe a day two pick comes in and they slide him in to be their starting center. Hell, I mean, they've done it with Lindsley and they did it with Myers. Maybe third time's the charm. We shall see. MH. So it's safe to say that BJ Raji is out of play now. Well, I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. Never say never. BJ Raji, we need you back, man. Need you back. Andrew, good question. What would your biggest surprise be the Packers would do on draft day? Is it a trade for a big name player or something else? I would be very surprised if they traded away their first round pick for, you know, Miles Garrett or Max Crosby or any big name, so to speak. It'd be harder to top as far as a surprise goes outside of like drafting a punter in the first round, which, you know, there'd have to be an intervention because Brian would clearly have lost his mind or was being held against his will. But outside of the fantastical like that, yeah, that's, it's hard to top that kind of, that being the top of the chart, so to speak, surprise wise. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? Debo to Green Bay shouldn't happen, but would we consider a trade package that includes Ja? It would give us some return on him. Only reason I'm asking, thanks. I think there, I'd be surprised if San Francisco wanted to take on Jair's contract. You always got to remember on these proposed trades, you're not just trading a player, you're trading contracts as well. I don't know about the Debo thing. I feel like they would much rather draft a guy than take on somebody with that much mileage on the tires. He's been used a lot. You've seen his game really slip this last year plus. And I understand the idea of like trying to like trade your, not even malcontents, but guys, a couple of guys who probably need a change of scenery. I just don't see it happening with the contracts involved. It'd be fun. I'd love to see Debo in this offense and Matt LaFleur, you know, ginning things up for him. But, man, they're already probably giving too many end-arounds to Jaden Reed as it is. Like, I don't need another guy in that kind of mold, right? But, again, the theme of the offseason, never say never. Joseph. Gordy needs to put up a tall TV antenna tower with a perch if that fence gets too high. Oh, we've got all sorts of plans, let me tell you. They ain't going to escape us. Don't you worry about that. Jim, I agree. Monk looked great in preseason. I really thought so, too. And I know some fans have pointed out, and some media members, that, you know, he was a healthy scratch for many games this past season. Did not even get an opportunity to get on the field when Myers got hurt in the playoff game. But we've seen them redshirt dudes before. We've seen guys with, you know, a year or even two under their belt before they were thrust into action. Yosh Nijman, who we were just talking about, being a perfect example. So I'm certainly not ready to write him off. And I do think he's got to be somewhat in the mix. And that's something that's going to be fun to ask Brian Gutekunst next week when we get to talk to him. Obviously, he's not going to go point blank. This is what's going to happen. He's never going to reveal too much. But I am interested to see what he kind of, who he name checks at the center position. And now obviously he'll say, we'd love to have Josh back, but if he is gone, we feel like XYZ can do the job. I'm interested to see who he has in his thoughts for XYZ. Let's put it that way. Bill, thanks for the super chat, man. Jordan Love's comments on drafting defense in the first round really got me down on how bad our track record has been in early round defenders. I don't know if it got me down, but it did make me laugh, because even Jordan Love is sitting here just like the rest of us, knowing what they're probably going to do. You know, man, it does frustrate me. I don't want anyone to think I'm sitting here going everything's hunky dory. It does frustrate me that a lot of the draft capital they've utilized in the first round on defensive players has not really come to fruition the way you would hope. However, I do understand that the draft is seven rounds, not just one. And yes, it is frustrating when your premier pick, your first pick every draft, is not contributing the way you would like. However, I am told the draft is seven rounds. And in those seven rounds, Gutekunst has done a pretty damn good job. So, especially as of late, these last three drafts. I get it. Like I said, it is frustrating. And I am frustrated by it. Not unlike yourselves. But you got to pull back and remember that the draft is not just one round. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Why can't players waive their contract with their current team if they want to get traded? If they want to walk away from the money, it's their choice. No? Well, technically they can. They can talk to the team and redo their contract. And now you got to have a contract. But essentially, you've seen guys do things akin to that, not just waive the contract, but kind of restructure the deal. But also, guys want to get paid. And they will help facilitate that if it's something they want to do. You know, to your point, if Jair was like desperate to get to San Francisco, I'll bet he would work with the Packers and or the 49ers on altering his deal. But he's still going to get paid. Like, no one's working for free. You know what I mean? So it's not impossible. It's just not likely. Let's put it that way. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor, hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.